Let's pray. Father, we pray now as we look into your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us personally, that you unpack it for us, give us handles. Would you point out specific areas in our lives we must pay attention, and grant us your grace and the strength to attend to them. Be with us now as we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Cleansing from defilement. What is spiritual hygiene all about? It is about separation and consecration. Big picture again, we're entering this 40-day season, and we say that as a church, the Lord is stepping us up, leveling us up. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as it were, there are levels and levels of cleansing and consecration to God. God is very gentle. In one season of our lives, He will put His finger on that area. He says, my daughter, which you deal with that. All right. And as we progress and mature in Him, in another season of our lives, He put His finger on another area of our lives. And He says, my son, deal with that. And He's telling us what was permissible in 2016, now in 2017, as you walk closer with me, is no longer permissible. The Lord is dealing with all of us. He's dealing with me. All right. He says, in the past, you may comment about this church, that church, this pastor, that pastor. But going forward, you're not going to comment about them. Matthew 7:1-2. It's going to be more and more pertinent. Because the measure you measure it out to others, it will be measured back to you. And you don't want that measure to go out where it becomes legal ground for the devil to use it and block your prayers. We're going to do the next series, or whenever that's going to be, about learning how to pray effective prayers. Going to God as Father for our own needs. Going to God as our friend for the needs of others. And then in Luke 18, going to God as the judge. And sometimes our prayers are blocked for months, our prayers are blocked for years. Why? Because the evil one, the adversary, has got a legal ground against us. And because God is loving, God is just, God is righteous. He cannot be loving and unrighteous. And that's why it is blocked. And therefore we have to deal with those things. So what was permissible may not be permissible. Ladies, you will understand this very well, all right, in your facial cleansing. You do deep cleansing. You don't just wash your face with soap and then go on with it. No. All right. You have your cleanser, and then you have your oil, you have your serum, you have your vitamin C, your vitamin D, and so on and so forth. Right. All the 7-8 levels. And then that's how you have beautiful skin. Same thing. All right. Spiritually, it's the same. Okay. Now, in going through this journey, do not look for your contact lens on the carpet. Do not look for the pin in the haystack. Do not go into self-introspection. Because self-introspection, the source is the self. What we need to do is bring ourselves and say, pray this prayer in Psalms 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God. Ask God to search us. And how else does God search us? We see ourselves in the light of His word. Psalms 36:9. For with you is the fountain of your life, in your light, we see light. God has given us three sources of light. The first source of light is Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So the word of God says, for example, do not have dishonest skills. With these people who are your peers and upper up your bosses, you succor them, you treat them nicely. With people below you, you trot on them and you look down on them. These are dishonest skills. Right? The word of God says, do not covet after things that you don't have. Look to God as a provider. The word of God says that we need to watch our tongue, and the example I gave about judging others. The word of God must be our authority. So in the light of the word of God, allow the word of God to speak to us. The word of God says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates our spirit and our body. The first source of light, the word of God. The second source of light is Matthew 5:14-16. Our fellow brothers and sisters. He says, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. BBTC is a disciple-making church. And the goal is that we make disciples. And the ultimate goal of making disciples in our cell groups, our classes, and our tribes is to be able to speak into the lives of our brothers and sisters. So in the cell group discussion, you may tell the sister, you're the light.
Hey sister,
what you said was correct in the cell group, but the manner you said it, you crushed that poor brother. What you said was correct, but you did not speak the truth in love. Or the other day, you told the other brother, you know, you're so critical and complaining all the time, you know. We're supposed to have this meeting, announcement was made 6 months ago, repeated every month, every week in the newsletter, we're going to have the AGM. And why are you not making so much noise about the AGM? You're a leader, no excuse. Alright? So you have the right as a brother, because you have built a relationship, the strength of the relationship will absorb the tension of that unpleasant, gentle rebuke. This is the goal of discipleship, to speak into the lives of each other. The second source of light is brothers and sisters. The third source of light is Jesus himself, John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Never. That is his promise. What is darkness? You are in darkness when you are constantly having doubts about your faith. You are in darkness when constantly you are easily discouraged. You are in darkness when you fall into depression from time to time. When you are despondent and losing hope in your life, in your work, in your finances and so forth. You are in darkness. That means you are not following the Lord. Don't quarrel with me. That's what Jesus said. John 8:12. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Therefore, coming to church is not being a spectator, listening to a good sermon, singing wonderful songs. How great is a wonderful name. How powerful the name. No, it must change our lives. There must be a difference in our lives. We follow Jesus. And he says, if we truly follow him, means we hear his word, we respond to his word, we obey his word, we will never walk in darkness. Yeah, from time to time we stumble, we fall because we're still sorting it out. That's fine. We are still processing it. That's fine. We are still in a journey. That is fine. But we move on. And overcome that darkness. Overcome that despondency. Overcome that discouragement. Overcome that doubt. Clarify that doubt. And walk in victory. In your light, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Alright, so we're going to apply various things today. I'm going to talk about five major things. Some of it relevant to you, some not so relevant. We're going to do it together as a family. The first area is got to do with abortion. Deal with the spirit of rejection that comes via abortion. Everybody read Psalms 139, 13 to 16. 1, 2, read. You made... Louder. To go into the debate, all right? Very clearly, when we are conceived, the second line in my mother's womb, the fifth line being formed in utter seclusion, in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. The Canaanites have a practice of sacrificing their infants to the god Molech. And God warned in Leviticus 20 verse 2 and 3, say to the Israelites, if any Israelite gives any of his children to Molech, he must be put to death. For by giving his children to Molech, the last line, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. You can actually Google and find this picture of the practice of the Canaanites and sacrificing their infants. And the spirit of abortion came from there, the Canaanite practices, which is why God wanted to destroy them when he asked the Israelites to occupy the promised land. Okay? So we're going to pray together, alright? And I realized last week when I singled out the singles, I was being singled out. My apologies to you, to those who feel embarrassed, alright? The whole idea is to pray, but I was very comforted by all the leaders. You know, it's not about me, it's about some of the singles themselves. Anyway, alright, we're going to pray this together, alright, whether you have abortion or no abortion or whatever, but you know who you are. The Lord knows who you are, you know who you are. I got various mothers, various ladies coming to see me after the first service, the Saturday service. One lady was just sharing with me after one service, said that she wanted to abort, but she did not abort. Alright, but how? I said, you still repent. So long as the thought exists and you actually intended it, you are opening doorways. All these doorways must be closed, alright? Because we're talking about holiness, we don't want the devil to have any ground. Okay? Everybody on the count of three, dear Heavenly Father, number one, We confess. Number two. Number three. Number four. That is the promise of the Lord. The child is now with the Lord. Whether in as a fetus for 2 weeks, or whether as a 8-month-old child. How do we know this? In the scriptures, we are told that when David had a child by Bathsheba, and the child was very sick unto death, and David prayed and fasted, all right? And after that, he saw his servants murmuring, he realized the child is dead. And what did he say? Should the child come to me? No, the child is dead. But I shall go to the child. We know David, a man after God's own heart, when he physically dies, he will go to the Father, into the very presence of God, and that's where the child is going to be. So every child that dies before the age of accountability, the age of accountability varies from child to child between the ages of 11, 12, to about 14 or 15. All right. Maybe for a girl, she matures earlier. Some boys are still childish until they're 15 years old, then they wake up. All right. The age of accountability is when that child, that person, has full accountability, full responsibility for his decisions. That's the age of accountability. Okay? Continue all together. Number five, one, two, go. We. Number six. Number seven. Amen. All right, simple prayer. All right, take a record. It's in the handout. Next, we want to deal with adoption. When you adopted a child, as a parent, you need to be clearly aware there are SOFC issues in the child. SOFC means sins of the fathers with its resulting consequences. What we also call generational iniquity, all right, or the consequence that comes through the bloodlines. Or that child may have been earlier dedicated to the gods. Or the child is born out of wedlock. I know of a couple who adopted a child, all right, because the mother was just 15 years old. What does a 15-year-old girl know about mothering? About bringing up a child? Just completely not ready. And this child was given to Ministry of Social Affairs, and to cut a long story short, one of the couples that I know, all right, finally got the opportunity to adopt this child. Or the child is born of parents who are drug addicts. And no way the parents can take care of the child because both are in jail. The child has to be given up. Or abandoned at an orphanage, a home, or an agency. You heard of Mother Teresa in Calcutta. You heard of this pastor in Korea. You've probably seen that video. In South Korea, it's called something like a Dropbox. Not your Dropbox where you send your photographs and park somewhere in iCloud. And literally, those who cannot handle and bring up the children, they bring their baby, the infant, and place it in the Dropbox, the window. All right, there's a video on there. And this pastor, he will bring the child up. And he's appealing for funds and volunteers. Volunteers have come. People have donated money. And he brought all the children out. Some of them are much older now. They've graduated, go to university. And they come back to help and to provide the funds to bring all these orphans up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. A ministry in South Korea. You can Google. I think it's called Dropbox or something like that. All right. And various grounds given to the evil one from conception to the point of adoption. So every parent, all right, when you adopt a child, you must pray this prayer over the child. Lay hands upon the child. One more about your own blood son and daughter or your blood grandson, granddaughter. Pray over them. Okay. So the principles are the same. All right. Grab hold of the principles. Everybody pray together. Number one, we thank you, Lord. Number two. Together louder. Number three. Number four. Number five. And number six. As I was telling one lady, alright, in the earlier service, this is just a sample prayer based on the principles in James 4 and 1 Peter 5. You have to go into a little more detail when you know about the child. How you adopted the child, and for whatever background information you have about the child. Okay? The third area we're going to deal with is the whole area of verbal abuse, word curses, and accusations. For simplicity, I'll just use the phrase word curses. At some point of time in your life, by someone you respected, someone who is in authority, your mother, your father, your uncle, your teacher, they call you hopeless, they say you're stupid, you're a loser, you're good for nothing, you're ugly, fat duckling, your husband will always leave you for another woman, you cannot do anything right. Sometimes we laugh at this, but some of these words stick on you. When the words stick on you like a glue, and it hurts you, it will open a doorway for a demonic spirit that's going to needle all the way through into your life. And becomes a word curse. It will be self-fulfilling. There was one man, he was in the police, he was a trainer. And he invoked what we call a self-curse, the top right. And he'll be training, and then every few months, regularly, he will go for blood transfusion. His blood levels just decrease. And you wonder why. He became a believer, he came from ministry. And it was revealed during the ministry that during the time of him as a trainer in the police, sometimes he got so exasperated with the cadets, he got so fed up with the trainees, he always say, you suck my blood, you suck my blood, you all of you suck my blood. He did it for 20 over years. 20 over years as a trainer in the police force. And that's why his blood is being sucked out, his blood levels go down, and finally, you know what the devil wants to do? Steal, kill, and destroy his life. With the ministry, with the repentance, he repented over all the self-curse, alright? And from that point onwards, he doesn't have to go for blood transfusion. Completely delivered and healed. Okay? Why? Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. If there's an accusation, agree with your accusation quickly. You can justify, alright? But even if 99% of it may not be true, but there's 1% that is true, agree with it. Don't give the enemy legal ground to bring you to the court and block, alright? And block your prayers. Let's pray this prayer together. Okay? And we're going to pause for a time for the Lord to reveal to us. Alright, everybody on the count of three. Dear Heavenly Father, number one, I confess, louder. Number three. And number four. Half a minute, bow your head, close in prayer. Some of you can quickly recall words spoken to you by your mother or your father or your teacher or somebody in authority. In these 30 seconds, bring this person before the Lord. And forgive the person and release the person to the Lord. It can be your boss, your colleague, your fellow student. They bullied you, they mock you, they ridicule you, they trivialize you. Okay? Alright, look up. Everybody together. Number five. I... Number six. Okay, number seven is, I just put it in this morning, alright? Remember the principle of removing and replacing. So, for example, they have cursed you that you are unworthy, you are unloved. This is a word curse, alright? You replace it with a godly belief. I am deeply loved by God. Alright? You're good for nothing. Nope. God has a destiny for me. God has a purpose and a destiny for me. You are ugly, fat duckling. Nope, I am beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said in Isaiah 43, you are precious in His eyes. He has called you by your name. Okay? So, these word curses are what we call, in this church, we call them ungodly beliefs. Ungodly beliefs, we nullify them and we replace them We reinstate godly beliefs. Okay? 30 seconds. What are some of the obvious word curses that has been uttered against you, even your own self-curse? I'll never make it, and so forth, and so forth. You have cursed yourself. Replace it now in your mind. Ask the Holy Spirit for a download for a godly belief. All right, and everybody on number 8 together, 1, 2, go. Lord, amen. Okay, let me just share some stories about abortion. There was this lady, she always felt a deep sense of abandonment. And because of her abandonment, she felt that she cannot trust the Lord. And during ministry, as she came from ministry, as the ministry givers ministered to her during the SSH, the Soul Spirit Hurt segment, she was brought back to realize that at the 5th month when the mom was pregnant with her, the mom tried to abort her. Like the lady who came to me after the first service, all right, trying to abort in the midst of the second trimester or even the 3rd trimester. And then when she realized that, all right, she was led to pray to forgive the mom, release the mom to the Lord, and to be relieved of that. I think of a missionary I know personally, now in the early 50s. She was an orphan. And she was actually placed in an orphanage, and to cut the long story short, she was adopted by this American couple missionary and brought up. And then she was largely ministered to. But because she did not fully understand this whole thing about restoring the foundation, this whole thing about deliverance and healing. Today, as a missionary, she's being ministered now by one of our ladies, lady leaders here. From time to time, she was slid into depression. From time to time, she feels so lonely. She's single. And she's now a missionary in a foreign land and very discouraged. And then get into this problem and that problem. And the root of that has got to do with the spirit of rejection when she was a child. One of our mission teams, they went over to one of the ASEAN countries. And in these ASEAN countries, they were ministering to, they visited a home of a lady with 3 children. And the youngest girl in this family has been sick since she was born. And always falling sick and seeing the doctors. And they could not diagnose her illness. And until in the time of ministry, it was revealed that the girl will always go out and play in the garden, and she will play with a little friend, a dwarf. Later it was found out that this dwarf is the aborted baby that was left in the garden. The mother actually aborted the baby and dug the garden and buried that aborted child in the garden. The mother confessed that she did this, all right, and buried the baby in the garden. To cut a whole long story short, led the mother into repentance, all right, cleansed, delivered, healed. And since then, that child, when they went back on the mission trip to this same place, the child is completely healed. Adoption. Alright, this is just too long. Okay, there's just too many, alright? And I just want to highlight the importance of this, and as Brother Andrew has shared, I want to really encourage you. Some of these issues have got no bearing on you, no about adoption or abortion, but for some of you, this matters a lot. Alright, for some of you, it may be word curses. So pay attention to them. Come, no comparison, no condemnation. Fill up, register for the RTF end of August, ministry in September. Okay? Next, I want to talk about transference of unclean spirits. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12 tells us broadly there are 3 categories of spirits. Number 1, the Spirit of God. Number 2, the Spirit of man. Every man is a spirit. We are all spirit beings that has a soul that lives in the physical body. And number 3, there's the spirit of the world, which are unclean spirits, evil spirits, demonic spirits, filthy spirits. Okay? When I use the word transference, I am talking about influence. I'm talking about an effect on you that will bother and enter into your belief system and creep into your motivations, creep into your values, creep into your attitudes that will result in words and behavior. It's called transference. This word transference is also a psychological term used by professional counselors. And especially for caregivers. If you are a caregiver for someone who is hospitalized, visiting every day, or your mother who is bedridden or suffering from 4th stage cancer, as you keep on giving care, your emotional energy is being depleted. That's why we say that for caregivers, it's so important to top up your emotional tank, to be strong spiritually and mentally. And again, when we talk about transference, there is a range of transference. There is a range of influence and effects on you. On the one end, there appears to be nothing happening because you're strong. On the other end, you can be completely demonized. As in the example of Pokemon, right? Sometimes it's good to go and play the game. It's just a social game. Everybody happy, happy. Father, mother, son, daughter. That's it. It ends there. But for some people, as we know about the young 13-year-old boy, he was completely demonized. Why? It's a function of your spiritual strength, your mental strength, your emotional strength, your physical strength, and so forth. So how does it happen? Number one, it comes through psychic and horror movies. Ah! You see, some of you were not paying attention. You were in another world. You watch horror movies and that's what happened. You get nightmares. And all of a sudden you hear a shout. So some of us cannot handle this. I remember in the 80s or the 70s, there was a movie called The Exorcist. Horror. Okay? Some people, after they watch the movie, nightmares after nightmares after nightmares. Some people watch, no effect. Again, a function of your mental strength, your spiritual strength, you're able to detach yourself, you're able to analyze and deal with it. For some of us, stay far from it. It's like me, but before I went to primary one, ambition, teacher asked, what do you want to become when you grow up? I want to become a doctor. Primary one, see people fall down, got blood, almost fainted, cannot become a doctor, right? Ultimately, thinking of become a lawyer or banker, right? Might as well deal with the end product money, join the bank. Number two, sexual sins. All right, it comes through pornography, books, TV, and movies. Every good movie, all right, forget about all those horrible movies. All right, they'll try to squeeze in a 10-second, 15, 20-second sex scene. You didn't intend to see, but you watched already. So what do? Take the blood of Jesus, Lord, I cleanse my mind, I cleanse my eyes, I cleanse my heart. Okay? Take the blood of Jesus to cleanse so that there won't be flashbacks. That you won't entertain the 20th thought to last. We will be exposed to all these things. Cleanse yourselves. Greed and covetousness. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Covetous for what? The lady. You saw the lady who came to church that day. This must be her 7 Gucci bag. Her complexion looks so good. She must have gone for a special facial treatment. All right. Or the dress that she's wearing cannot be from Blogshop. Blogshop cannot like that. Must be a special boutique or whatever, alright? Negative values from bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says very clearly, evil company will corrupt good habits. Psalms 1 verse 1, blessed is the man, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly has no regard for God. Don't walk in the counsel. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. They will corrupt you. Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. Make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man. Do not go. In the banking world, in my earlier banking world, there's this huge American lady seated about 2 desks away from me. Once over the phone, alright, I don't know, the customer turned her down or there was something that was not solved. She slammed the phone, she took the stapler and smashed it against the wall. As fast as the temper shoot up like a volcanic eruption, within the next 2 minutes, she cooled down. I'm sorry, but damage is done. I make sure I stay far from her, alright? In case the stapler, the missile will fly in the thing. The Bible says very clearly, do not learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. I've seen this in families, where the father has got a bad temper, a violent temper, and the son mimics the father. I've seen this in families where 2 brothers will fight, and so on and so forth, in the same siblings. I was talking to somebody who was a CFO of a major public company in Singapore. And this guy has got 3 sons and they were very close. And the father is very old, alright? And because he was CFO, he has privy to all the assets. The sons among themselves, okay, until they all got married. Of course they will get married, right? And the problem is, okay, but they did not take care and deal with their wives. When their wives got involved, every one of the 3 wives wants this for their son, their daughter, and so forth, and fight lawsuits. Okay? This is very common. Proverbs 4:14-15, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. There's a way of evil. The Lord says, stay away from that. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass. Just pass by. You know there's going to be a gang fight. You know this two person is going to quarrel already. Get away from it. Alright? Proverbs 23:20. Do not mix with wine bibbers. These are people who drink and drink and get drunk. I think recently there was a prayer meeting, alright, and one of our brothers shared, before he came to know the Lord, he was drinking and drinking. And he was drinking so much until he got drunk, until his friends also don't want to drink with him. And some days he'll be drinking alone. Alright? He's smiling at me. He'll be drinking alone. And then to cut the long story short, one day he had a revelation or whatever. Can't remember the details. Cut the long story short, he came to know the Lord. And today he wants to avoid touching a drop of alcohol. Wine, when it gets into or with gluttonous eaters of meat. I think a reasonable amount of steak to eat is 250 grams. For ladies, maybe 150 grams. For those of us who are bigger size, is Jeffrey out here? Maybe give him 400 grams. That's about it. But for some wanted to eat 800 grams, 700 grams, too much, alright? So you decide, gluttonous eaters of meat. Proverbs 29:24. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. This is the thief of material things as well as a thief who is a liar. He bluffs. He steals away knowledge and secrets. He prevents you from knowing because he wants to have the advantage. Because information is king. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Stay in the company in BBTC. Keep on coming to church, and what Andrew says, come for the prayer meeting. If you're not come, come as a cell group, all right? And keep on hearing messages from this pulpit. Stay in this church; you will grow, you will be blessed in the company of the godly, all right? Where the presence of God is. You've seen this diagram, all right? Know and settle. There's only three sources of thoughts, ideas, suggestions, propositions, including personal prophecy. From man, from the evil one, or from the Holy Spirit. There is a dotted line here. That thought, that idea is not yours until you receive it for yourself. It's like a bird flying above the head. It's from the evil one, it is evil and bad. It's from God, it is good, accept. So, maybe in the midst of worship, where we worship just now for half an hour, 35, 40 minutes. In the midst of worship, a dirty thought comes to your mind. What is that? That is the evil one, like a bird flying above your head, depositing dirty thoughts into your mind. So what do? You recognize it is not from the Lord, it's not for yourself, because you're trying to connect God and saying how great is our God, and then the dirty thought comes to your mind. Right? It cannot be. So what do? In the name of Jesus, you dirty, filthy thought, get out of my life. I take the blood of Jesus to cleanse my mind and my eyes. Some of you may have to do this for a season until you have complete victory over this area. Positively, as you're worshipping the Lord reminds you of a cell member who has not been attending your cell group for the last 6 weeks. The Lord is prompting you, can you get in touch with this cell leader? Go and call her, not cell leader, cell member. Alright, give her a WhatsApp chat. We meet her for tea, breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, whatever. Connect with her. Maybe she's bothered. Maybe something is not right. Okay? Or in the midst of worship, the Lord convicted you. You said something that was not 100% true. 60% true, but 40% was untrue. You did not put everything on the table. And you are convicted of it. All these things happen during worship. You know that? Because the presence of God is here. And it is personal. Or the Lord says that you said that thing, but you said it very harshly. You made that decision, alright, about the relationship that is wrong. Because you did it out of your own selfish reason, because you were insecure, you just wanted to protect yourself, you just thought about yourself, you did not think about the other party. So whatever it is, what do we need to do? 2 Corinthians 10:5, take captive, capture that thought, capture that idea, and bring it to the obedience of Christ. We have not obeyed yet. It's the obedience of Christ. That means submit it to the authority of Scriptures and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So understanding that, you know why people have a one-night stand and commit adultery. When I was in the banking world, I had a lot of cocktails, 5-6 cocktails during the year. Chinese New Year cocktail, Deepavali cocktail, CEO's birthday cocktail, you know. All right, 3-4 people. So when somebody step into the ballroom, all right, go Ritz-Carlton or Marriott or whatever, you step into the ballroom, all right, come in a tuxedo suit and the ladies all well dressed. And if a guy, especially when you travel overseas, you go for cocktails and you go for functions, he step into the ballroom and his eyes will scan the ballroom. And that's it, he's looking for a pickup. A pickup, you understand what's a pickup, right? Not a taxi, okay? Immediately, that demon that is around him, he says, just look right across, behind the waiter, behind the wall, you see that gorgeous, sexy-looking girl. And if she's also immoral, what's going to happen is the bird above her head will also whisper to her, let's look across, this serious, tall, dark, handsome man coming in. Next thing you know, they are connected. And next thing you know, something happens. That's how it operates. That's how it works. There is a cocktail situation, a formal situation. What more about gatherings among staff, among colleagues, amongst friends, or friend of friends? You just met one acquaintance. You saw the report in the newspaper of this ambassador from Saudi or whatever, right? He called and then he just thought he can just take advantage of a young waitress. Is it waitress or whatever? And this is what happened. Every man is filthy, inclusive of your senior pastor, until and unless you bring your life under the blood and the authority of scriptures and have the fear of God. And this is regardless of how old you are. That's why we talk about dirty old men. He can be 95 years old and be very filthy. You think that he's old, what can he do, right? Physically, but in his mind, in his heart. And that's what the Bible says. That's why we need to come clean. That's why there must be the fear of God in our hearts. Because without the fear of God, we will all fall into sin. Okay? And that's how it happens. Laying on of hands. The positive, the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, they transfer their sins to the sacrificial animal. They lay the hands, and then the animal is slaughtered, the blood is shed to cover their sins. And then the positive is the laying on of hands for the impartation of gifts, Moses to the elders, Moses to Joshua, Paul to the believers, alright, and so forth. I wanted to lay down some principles. And this came about because just last week, I was teaching in this Bible school and a question was raised. Because one preacher, one speaker says, come forward to the altar now and let me lay my hands on you and impart my anointing upon you. I want to ask BBTC, you're well taught, alright, that preacher can never impart his personal anointing on you. So let's establish a few principles, okay? Firstly, the giver of all spiritual gifts, the giver of the anointing is from God. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from who? The Holy One. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing you have received from who? From Him who abides in you, the Holy Spirit. Okay? But, although God is the giver, God uses His servants. He uses pastors, leaders, prophets, evangelists, teachers, cell leaders, and so forth. So God uses His vessels of honor to impart gifts from God. How? By the laying on of hands. The methodology is to lay hands. But the guy is only God's vessel, God's conduit, God's delivery channel. He is not the one to give His own gift, which I will explain a little more in a moment. So, for example, you look at 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you, I put bracket from God, which is my addition, by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Let's say you got 12 elders, you get it from who? 5% from this person, 10% from the other elder, 20% from the other? No, impossible. Right? When we send people off for mission trips, we get all the elders and pastors to come to the front to lay hands. And you also lay hands by stretching forth your hands because it's too far. You cannot come down from the gallery and lay your hands, right? So what do? As a corporate family, you stretch forth your hands. So understand when the leader here says, church, let's stretch forth our hands and pray for them. Understand why you are stretching forth your hands. This is the laying on of hands, okay? The other stretching of hands is raising your hands to God. The other raising hands to God in worship is called lifting up holy hands. There is a difference. So you must know what you're doing, understand what you're doing. When we pray for people in the front, as a mission team, we are doing it on the principle of the laying on of hands. Because you're physically far, you stretch forth your hands to pray. That's the principle of the laying on of hands. Alright? But in worship, personal worship, corporate worship, when you are worshiping God, how great is our God, alright? When I look into your holiness, we sing, you lift up your hand. This lifting up our hands is the Psalms 24. Clean hands and a pure heart. It's the 1 Timothy 2. Lifting up holy hands before God. And before you can lift up holy hands, it better be cleansed by the blood. It has to be cleansed by the blood, consecrated. Alright? But not to worry. When you come into this sanctuary, all of you are being prayed for. All the time, we got leaders, people in the worship team, intercessors, that the Lord will sanctify everyone who comes in here. But this is only good for you for 2 hours. In the second service, is good from 10:45 until the service is over. After that, so to speak, you better walk with God. You better walk in the light. Okay? But when you are here, you are covered. When you're here, then